All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I'm going to read a couple more names here. Can I see tytnetwork.com/go? Jesus, this is of course our journalism drive. $50 from Hardy in Wyoming. How cool is the name Hardy?
They named a restaurant after it.
Not spelled the same way. Look at this. Look at this going up, guys. Nice work. Let's keep it going. Let's finish strong here. Let's finish a little too strong. Could you imagine we pop over 2 million? No, I'm significantly worried we're not going to hit 2 million. That would be a schwang, wang, wang ending to all this.
What happens if we don't hit 2 million? No more new reporters?
Well, I'm completely serious. We use the money to hire the reporters and the staff, et cetera, to back them up. So depending on how much we raise, that's how many people we can hire. So if we don't get to 2 million, well, we'll hire less people. So that sucks. But if we get to 2 million, I'm hoping that we can hire two new reporters, not contributors, reporters.
Now there are two of them.
Well, there'll be a lot more of them. Okay, anyway, Alan from Georgia gave $127. Sia from Kentucky gave $127. Ah, I love you guys. Okay, Justice Democrats just had training in Kentucky. Kentucky, we're coming for you, man. You know how much I love Kentucky. We're going to turn Kentucky blue as it should be. That's the bluegrass state, okay? So Republicans in Kentucky, see you, wouldn't want to be you. Okay. Don't you see I'm loco, writes in. Once you become president, you are no longer a businessman. I wish you would have told Trump that. Carl Blauvelt writes in, if this was a Democrat, referring to what Trump is doing with his businesses, there would already have been 7 hearings and impeachment proceedings called with taxes reported 12 times.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Obama said he was going to do a blind trust, but he wouldn't? And we found out he secretly signed something where he could take the money out?
Yeah. No. Can you imagine if Obama did not share his birth certificate? Which, by the way, he didn't have to. He's a U.S. citizen. Like, there was no indication that he wasn't a U.S. citizen. Can you imagine how angry conservatives, and specifically Trump, would be if he didn't show his birth certificate?
Or if Obama didn't share his tax returns.
Right.
Or if Hillary Clinton didn't share her tax returns. Why did she hide it, Clinton? And by the way, we would have been outraged because she should. She should share her tax returns, and so should have Trump. And we also would have done
just like that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now let me tell you about, let me tell you about Aspiration.com. So they're a sponsor of ours. I love it because we're trying to find sponsors that match us and you guys. And they're perfect for that. They're progressive. They're a financial firm. And if you're tired of all those banks, it's time to debank and go to a financial firm like Aspiration.com. You're asking, hey, Cenk, why is that? Well, don't worry, I'm about to tell you. Okay, 100% fossil fuel-free banking and investments. So hashtag no DAPL. So if you're worried about your bank doing that, they don't do that at all. This is amazing. Everybody I tell this to, they're like, no. Up to 1% annual interest on your checking account.
How is that even possible?
How's that possible?
I don't know, but sold.
Okay, Aspiration.com, that's why they have a...
You can't even get a CD, okay? Certificate of deposit. You can't even get a certificate of deposit with an interest rate like that.
I know. I was talking to my dad about it. I think you should go. Okay, that's why they have a wait list.
Yeah.
You can skip the wait list. I know, we're a little exclusive here. Now, all of a sudden, the TYT audience is the elites. You can go to the head of the line by going to aspiration.com/TYT, and you don't have to wait on the wait list. There's free access to ATMs all across the world. There's no monthly service fee. I know, it just gets better. 10% of their revenue goes to charity. I mean, it doesn't get any more lib than this, and no funding of political campaigns or industry lobbying. So if you are looking for a progressive place to put your money, I think we've got your answer for you, aspiration.com. That's the kind of sponsors we like.
Yeah, I'm into it. I just like that your money is going to grow just by keeping it in that account.
Jeez, you put it in there and it grows.
It just grows.
And that's what it does, it grows.
And you get to touch that money. Like, that's important, right?
Really? And when are you going to go every once in a while and be like, I touched
it? No, because CDs are they're not the worst, right?
Oh, but I see what you're saying, because you can't take them out.
You can't take it out or else you're going to be penalized. Or penalized, depending on how you like to pronounce it. So just keep that all in mind.
Nobody gets penalized. That's right. Anyway, I love finding good progressive sponsors like that. So everybody check that out. And like I said, aspiration.com/TYT to be able to move your money over there immediately if that's what you want to do. Okay, all right, what's next?
All right, a story that I've been wanting to get to for a while now. And since we haven't been able to, I put it at the top of the rundown. I think it's super important. All right. The Department of Education had created a program for students struggling with student loan debt 10 years ago. The program essentially allowed people who were in student loan debt to enter public service jobs that were approved by the department. And after 10 years, the remaining student loan debt that they had would be forgiven. Now, fast forward 10 years later, and all of a sudden, all of these students who had entered the program are getting a letter from the Department of Education letting them know that maybe the public service jobs that they did but didn't really necessarily want to do don't qualify for this debt forgiveness program. So let me give you the details.
That's crazy.
It's insane. Let's just keep it real. These students were lied to and completely scammed, but let me give you more information. All right, so the forgiveness program offers major benefits for borrowers, advocates say, to the point of persuading some people to take public service jobs instead of more lucrative work in the private sector. The program generally covers people with federal student loans who work for 10 years at a government or nonprofit organization, a diverse group that includes public school employees, museum workers, doctors at public hospitals, and firefighters. The federal government approved the program in 2007 in a sweeping bipartisan bill. So both Democrats and Republicans realized, okay, we want to help these students out. And if they provide a public service that we approve, then after 10 years working in that field, we will forgive their student loan debt, their remaining student loan debt.
And okay. Now they go, oh, do you believe this?
Okay, so here's the update. The Education Department suggested that borrowers could not rely on the program's administrator to say accurately whether they qualify for debt forgiveness. The thousands of approval letters that have been sent by the administrator, Fed Loan Servicing, are not binding and can be rescinded at any time, the agency said.
See, this is why people hate politicians and sometimes the government. And so we got to distinguish between what is the, you know, the good parts of government and the bad parts of government. So government sometimes gives you Social Security and helps save your life with Medicare, and there's wonderful parts of the government. And then there are atrocious parts where they think, well, we're above you, and so you have to play by the rules. And if you step outside of the rules for 1 second, I mean, you were at a parking meter that ran 1 minute long, we're gonna jack your car, right? I mean, and by the way, that is, as we found out, sometimes systematically done in places like Ferguson. Mm-hmm. We found out that they targeted the poor, that if they violated any rules, they would give them tickets, etc., and try to take money from the poor communities more than they would, and black communities more than they would from white communities or rich communities. So if you just violate the rules for a second, they're looking for you and they're gonna come and lay the hammer down on you. But when it comes to them, they're like, oh, you listened to us and you worked in the public sector for 10 years?
For 10 years, that's a decade.
Yeah, just kidding. Now, it's not for everybody. A lot of folks are still able to go through the program. Mm-hmm. But for some folks, they're saying, nope, we now change the rules on you completely. And that's why people get furious, and rightfully so, at politicians.
And here's the reality of how this whole process works. Every year, the people who applied for this program have to have some sort of communication, basically reapply, but continue communicating with the Department of Education to ensure that what they're doing is following the rules. So I don't understand, you know, where the disconnect happens or why it is that all of a sudden, under a new education department, these students are being told that, hey, you know what, this was non-binding, and even though you've been working in this job that might be less lucrative for 10 years, maybe it doesn't qualify. I mean, I would be enraged. Look, I've been working at TYT for 10 years, right? But I made the decision to make less money. These people were kind of like, not forced, but think about it. If you have a tremendous amount of student loan debt and you have the opportunity to get it forgiven, if you take a specific type of job, you're gonna take that job. And that's what these people did. This essentially dictated their lives and their career paths.
You could put any number on it you want, but if somebody, let's say you had a student debt that was gonna get forgiven, and it's, make up a number, $20,000, $50,000, right? Because student debt is sometimes gigantic. And then they go, oh no, I lied to you. Now you still have that $50,000. But that you were counting on that $50,000 basically extra for having worked at that job that didn't pay you as well. That was part of your expected compensation based on the rules that they gave you, right?
Yes.
And at the end they go, just kidding, you still owe the $50,000. I mean, if we promised you a bonus of $50,000 at the end, and then you got to the end and we're like, no, we give you nothing. Ha ha, we lied to you the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be really upset, but I'm a sucker. I'd probably still be here. I'm just keeping, I mean, don't use that as
take notes.
Means to do anything shady in the future. But yeah, I mean, people would be very upset. And again, this program, I mean, of course they consented to it, the students did, but it did dictate their career paths, and that's big. That's a big deal. By the way, four borrowers and the American Bar Association have filed a lawsuit, against the department, and we'll see how it plays out. But I do believe that the borrowers here have a very strong case, especially if they have all the different correspondences with the department indicating that the job that they were working at did qualify for the program.
It's amazing how much more right wing Washington gets every single year. 07 was not good times. That was the Bush-Cheney years. Mm-hmm. And it was already deeply, ridiculously right wing. But even so, then a bipartisan bill that included Republicans passed saying, hey, you know what? If students come out of college and they're doing something wonderful and they're giving back to the community, we should reward them for it. And Republicans signed on to that. Now, 10 years later, they're like, no way, don't care. Here's some bootstraps. Good luck to you. And by the way, keep paying our banker friends.
So depressing. All right, moving on to some other news. Fox News is not having a good week. Now, we've heard a lot about the lawsuits against Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes, but it turns out that there is another former Fox employee by the name of Judith Slater, who was the comptroller, who is also dealing with lawsuits due to racism and discrimination. Now, there are three women who have filed this suit against Fox News because of their inaction, or what they say was the inaction toward the comptroller. Teresa White, Monica Douglas, and Tashana Brown filed a lawsuit against the network and Slater, accusing them of racial discrimination. Now, here are some of the allegations against Slater. Walking down the hallway, if you encounter Judith Slater, she would put her hands up, in this motion, I guess, mocking the Black Lives Matter movement, walking to the bathroom, even saying goodnight to her. She required us to say goodnight at 6 or whatever time you were leaving. And instead of saying goodnight, it was hands up, don't shoot. That was the tipping point for me. So all three plaintiffs in this case are Black women. Judith Slater is white. And they spoke about this lawsuit on Good Morning America, and we have a couple clips.
Before we go to that, and what you're about to see is even worse. But if my employer told me, no, before you leave, since you're Black, you have to go hands up, don't shoot. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't blame them because they had it, jobs, and it's hard to get a job, and it's tough. But man. That's so nuts. Mm-hmm. That is so degrading, so ridiculous that I can't imagine it. But it's about to get much worse.
Yes. So I want you to hear from the women themselves. Again, this was on Good Morning America. Let's take a look at the first clip.
She would often say, call me out, cancer girl, a one boob girl.
Just in the normal course of business?
In the normal course of business, they in front of my staff.
And according to the complaint, you raised these issues with Fox's general counsel, Diane Brandy. So what happened then?
That's also correct. I had a discussion with Diane regarding Judy's behavior and expressed my experience with her. And Diane simply said, she's untouchable.
Untouchable?
She cannot be fired because she knows too much.
Oh, that's what it is. I was wondering why in the world wouldn't you fire this despicable person? Now, I get it. Look, Fox is built on racism. So part of the things that she said, like saying that Black people mispronounce their words, that the Black Lives Matter movement was racist. Well, that's what they say on air on Fox News.
They do. I mean, it's interesting because it's not like, it's not like someone suing Mother Teresa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. So that part I understand. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's still wrong and you can't do that. That's against the law and you will and should get sued for racial harassment if you do that. Mm-hmm. But at least that part is imaginable, okay? Yeah. Somebody says cancer girl to someone and mocks them for having cancer, put aside the racial stuff for a second, or calls them one boob girl because they had breast cancer and lost the breast. How is that not an immediate firing offense? If someone said that here, at a bare minimum, I would pull them aside and be like, what on God's green earth were you thinking? And if they don't have the best answer in the world, they're gone. That is beyond despicable. So, but the last thing she said there, Anna, explained it all. Mm-hmm. Because remember all the dirty stuff that's going on inside Fox News.
She knew too much.
So if she knows the dirty stuff, she has leverage over her bosses. That's why they can't remove her. And that's why she feels empowered to say, I can say anything I want. I could mock you all I want. I could say, I could make you put your hands up. Ha ha, I'm untouchable because I got dirt on the bosses.
Right. And honestly, Fox News, according to the lawsuit, and remember, we just know what the lawsuit says. We know what the women are saying during this interview. But based on what they're saying, Fox News refused to fire Slater until they came out and were public about the fact that they intended on suing. And then all of a sudden, they decided to fire Slater. So let's give you some more details from their own words or in their own words. Let's take a look at the next video.
She called me down to her office one day and she was actually in a meeting with her accounting team. And she had these words on post-its. And she said, Tish, you know, Tishana, I want you to say this word. And it was mother. And then she picked up another one and it was father. And ask, fifth, all of these words. And I said, why do you have me doing this? And she's just like, black people continuously mispronounce these words. And I have a couple of people, black people on my staff. And it just seems words that are always mispronounced in meetings. And she wanted to see if I as well mispronounce these words.
The degree to which that is demeaning is indescribable. How could any decent human being allow someone to do that to their employees? Well, that presupposes that there are any decent human beings inside of Fox News.
Well, I don't want anyone to misinterpret this as me making excuses for her, because I think Judith Slater is a horrible, horrible person for treating individuals like this, if evidence proves that she did treat people like this. But she's a miserable person, right? Mm-hmm. Happy people, content people do not go out of their way to make others miserable. She is a miserable, sad person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, look, this is the old thing that I tell my kids. If there's a bully, it's because they're sad inside. No one who's happy goes around bullying other people like that.
How do you bully someone who suffered from cancer? I don't understand. Like, that doesn't even register in my mind. I can't even fathom doing that to anyone, even my worst enemy.
There's got to be a special darkness in your soul. And created probably by some trauma. Maybe we're outliving ourselves here by saying, like, Judith Slater, if all of this stuff is proven in court, had to have something go disastrously wrong in her life to treat other human beings that way.
It's so bad. All right, so let's hear from one other plaintiff in this case, and here's another pretty disgusting, deplorable thing.
What are the circumstances where she comes up to you and asks you if all your children had the same father?
We were in the elevator one day, and she came up and she saw me with a bag. And she was like, oh, big bag. And I'm like, yes. And she's like, I'm going to take my food home because I didn't finish eating it. I'm going to take it to my kids. She's like, oh, you have children? I'm like, I have three, all by the same man? And I'm like, yes. I was shocked.
Wow.
So to me, the amazing part is not that Judith Slater appears to be one of the worst people we've ever heard about. Again, they'll go to court and see how it gets proven out. But that it's allowed, to me, that's a lot worse. You can run into bad people. It happens. Are there people who are deeply racist? Yes. But for that to be allowed to go on for years upon years in a workplace is unreal. That not just, again, even if you put the racial stuff aside, for a boss to demean their employees in that kind of a sick way, and her bosses go, no problem with that. Yeah, keep, calling her one boob girl. Oh, God. Just when you thought Fox News couldn't get any worse.
And just to circle back around to the point that was made regarding how Slater knows too much about the company. She was a 19-year veteran at Fox News. She had been there for a very, very long time. So 19. I'm sure she saw a lot of things. I'm sure she experienced a lot of things. And that was probably one of the reasons why Fox News was, you know, ignoring the issue and was completely, you know, inactive when it came to dealing with it.
This kind of toxic environment for 19 years. By the way, what might she know? Now we're going to get into speculation. If you're the comptroller, you know where the money's going. Mm-hmm. And if you saw money leaving for sexual harassment settlements, which were not reported publicly, which is illegal, which is what New York State is pursuing right now. Those charges might be coming at Fox News soon. That's what Parit Bharara was investigating when he was removed by Trump. If you had access to that information, and we know that that happened at Fox News, then you can go to your bosses and say, hey, let me treat black people any way that I want. Let me demean anyone I want and run roughshod here because I know where you took that money and didn't report it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't even think she has to be that explicit about what she wants to do.
Yeah.
She's just going to get that protection by default if there is some wrongdoing at Fox News that she knows about and can use against the employer.
Yeah, that's probably what led to this carte blanche. Mm-hmm. And you give somebody a Fox News carte blanche and watch out.
Exactly. All right, let's move on. One more story before break?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. A teenager got accepted to Stanford University after his application included one answer to the question, what matters to you and why? And all he did was answer Black Lives Matter with the hashtag over and over and over again. He got into Stanford, and this isn't the reason why he got into Stanford. He actually has a really impressive application. But let's take a quick look to show you, you know, exactly how he answered the question. The graphic number 8. And this is Ziad Ahmed. He is a Muslim who feels that, you know, it's important for Muslims to stand in solidarity with Black Lives Matter and other disenfranchised groups of people in the United States. He's done a lot of impressive things. But anyway, this part of his application went viral. He tweeted about it. And I'm sure he got a lot of heat because people probably thought, oh, that's all he did. And then, you know, some lib university accepts him. But no.
Before you get into the other stuff, I have to confess that was my initial reaction too.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. Because at first, I thought that was his answer to the essay question.
That's what
I
thought.
I got real salty. Right?
I know. So, but that's the problem sometimes with the media. Like, mm-hmm. Look, he put it out on a tweet. But, you know, right wing, and not just right wing, but other media picked it up and they were like, oh my God, he just writes Black Lives Matter and gets accepted into Stanford. And so it wasn't just his essay. But the reason I got mad was I thought it was. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, I remember in elementary school, I had done something wrong at the library and the teacher there wanted me to write 100 words on why I was sorry. And I wrote, I am very 96 times sorry. She said, oh, you think you're clever? And she put that in an envelope, sent it to my dad, and I got an ass beating for it. Okay? So I still remember that whooping that I got.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, he gets into Stanford and I get a whooping. Mm-hmm. This ain't right. Okay, but it turns out you didn't hear the whole story. And by then, I think you'll realize why he got it.
Yes, yes. So he's only 18 years old. He's done some pretty impressive things. First of all, in regard to getting accepted to Stanford, he said, I didn't think I would get admitted to Stanford at all, but it's quite refreshing to see they view my unapologetic activism as an asset rather than a liability. He also got accepted to other big name schools, including Princeton and Yale. And in those applications, he did not answer a question in that way. He was invited to the White House iftar dinner, worked for the presidential campaigns of Democrats Martin O'Malley and Hillary Clinton, and gave a TEDx talk about youth activism.
We're not going to hold it against him that he worked for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, dude. Like, I mean, look, it's impressive that he's as politically engaged as such a young kid. And by the way, he started his own activism organization, which he talks about in this interview. Take a look.
I've never had a problem speaking up for myself and defending my faith and my ethnicity and my attributes, but there are so many people who don't have that same confidence. So I thought to myself, how can I better this situation? What can I do to make this better? So I went about creating Redefy because even myself, like, there were so many misconceptions that I held. And even as I go through this journey, I learned so much more about the diversity that exists in our world. And I wanted to create a platform by which teenagers could really become educated about these issues and engaged in them. So I started this website and reached out to some of my friends to really start this movement. And I've been very fortunate to see it blossom from there.
So this is what you got to do to get into the great schools these days.
Yeah.
I mean, it is near impossible.
Yeah.
You have to have amazing grades. You have to have amazing SAT scores. So you can have, by the way, a 4.0 and perfect SAT scores and still not get into these schools. Mm-hmm. You got to start whole new organizations by the time you're 18. You got to do activism.
You have to stand out. You have to stand out, but not in an inauthentic way. I think what they want to see is genuine passion, and it doesn't necessarily have to be political passion. It could be anything. And he's obviously passionate. I love, like, he's so young. Listen to the way he speaks.
I know, these kids are amazing,
man. Oh my gosh, I love young people. They're so impressive. People always give them a hard time, like, they're selfies and Instagram. Yeah. No, they're awesome. There's so many young people out there that inspire me.
So I'm going to be unbearable for a second here, but at the end you'll like the twist. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I went to Penn and Columbia Law, two Ivy League schools.
Mm-hmm. Unbearable.
No, okay, agreed. There is no way in the world I would have gotten into those schools today.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 1950s, they got all the alumni from those Ivy League schools. Oh, please. Dude, you got in because of your dad. Let's keep it real. That's what happened. Me, I snuck in there when it was still like barely possible, right?
Yep.
I had a couple of C's. I had a D. What am I? It's impossible to get in now. No way, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't start any national organizations by the time I was 18. These guys have to be superstars. So this kid, he did all that. I'm sure he was an amazing student. And this was not his essay. His essay was completely different. This was just an answer to what matters to you and why. And he did this particularly clever thing, mm-hmm. and it was unique. Then it triggered for me, oh right, in my Princeton application, mm-hmm. I did something very similar. But for the essay, I wrote it in train of thought. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, so this is my thought process. And so it's gonna be a very unique essay. And if they get it, they'll be like, oh wow, that's incredibly unique. Mm-hmm. If they don't, they'll think I'm an idiot and don't know how to do grammar correctly. They didn't get it. Or maybe they did and they're like, yeah, whatevs, dude. No way. And so I didn't get into Princeton.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
You thought for a second, no. So he's a little, not luckier than me, but much, much more qualified, and hence he got into all those schools.
Yeah. Look, I didn't apply to any Ivy League schools. I don't know if I regret the decision, but I kind of wish I had just to see what would happen. By the way, applying to college is a very expensive thing to do. Like you have to pay to apply to college.
Yeah,
which is insane, by the way.
No, that's a matter of privilege too.
Yes.
My dad had enough money for me to, I applied to like 12, 13 schools.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah.
But I applied to USC and CSUN, right? And CSUN was my backup school. USC was kind of shady with like refusing to transfer credit, so I didn't end up going there. But I did go back and read my essay for USC years later. And it was terrible, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I did not want to be creative because I was afraid of being creative and like having it work against me. And then also, it was boring. Like, I feel like the essay was uninteresting. The question was about Gandhi's "Be the change you want to see in the world." What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Yeah, I already hate it too. And I was like reading it, and I'm like, oh, I'm so full of I was full of it. Okay, I was totally full of it. It just came off as very inauthentic. So. I did not like it.
So last two things. I also tried the train of thought essay on Bucknell. Uh-huh. Now, I wound up getting off the waitlist, getting into Penn. So obviously, I got into Bucknell. Wrong, I got waitlisted. They didn't get it at all. They're like, this guy's a total moron.
Yeah.
Couldn't do grammar if his life depended on it. So sometimes you take a risk and it doesn't pay off.
True.
So don't worry too much that you didn't take too much risk. And then finally, these days, it's all bullshit anyway. Guys, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I've seen people write their essays and have their parents go over and consultants go over it, mm-hmm. and then you're rewritten 28 times until it's perfected, and they barely had 7% ownership over that essay. Mm-hmm. So, like, oh, the process is unbearable now.
I know. I know. All right. Of it's unbearable.
Yep. All right, we got to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, the Pepsi debacle. Did you know that I'm going to slightly defend them?
Oh. Did you watch it? Did you watch
it? Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Right. Yeah. No, it was a disaster. Nonetheless, a slight defense.
Okay.
When we come back. All right, member shout outs are Eugene Martinez and Mary Kekahuna. Thank you, Mary and Eugene. We appreciate it. TRTnetwork.com/join for a fun post game. Yesterday, we came up with a new show. What was it? Cashing In with Casper?
Oh, yeah, where I will be a financial advisor and I will read the disclosures. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I enjoy reading disclosures.
Yeah, well, look, I was ribbing her yesterday that I wasn't sure how well that show was going to do. Mm-hmm. But no, the members supported you.
Really?
Yeah, online afterwards, they were like, that was amazing. And it was really good financial advice, and we really liked it, and we were into it.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. So check that out, everybody. Okay, $50 from Ron in Arkansas for TYTnetwork.com/go. $50 from Donna in North Carolina. $127 from Patricia in Maryland. Michael Napin writes in, so if we just contact Dogan Uger on Cenk being late on Anna, he'll give him an ass whooping? Done. Could you imagine my dad's like, here we go again.
Has your dad ever given you any heat for starting hour too late? Because I know he watches.
Oh, man, the whooping I got. Could you imagine? Should we do that story again? Maybe in the post game we'll talk about the couple of times that I got spanked by my dad. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member and hear those stories. Okay, now on to the story about the debt forgiveness that is not being forgiven. Dan Whitehouse says, many people who are banking on the loan forgiveness only pay the minimum amount on those loans. Think of all the interest that they will owe.
10 years.
That's
10 years.
Devastating, absolutely right. And RDGP says, mocking a woman after cancer isn't just bullying. It shows a fundamental lack of empathy for others. Fox News fuels that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed, unfortunately true.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, we have an announcement to make, okay? We just got nominated for another Webby. Anyway.
I have the real thing.
Okay. All right, so now would be a good time to put the graphic up so you can see what it is. We got nominated for Film and Video News and Politics Series. And so the only way that we win this Webby is if you guys vote, okay? And the great thing is you can vote more than once. You can vote every day. Voter fraud is okay in this case. So vote every single day until April 20th. That's the last day that you can vote. And as long as we get enough votes, we will win this Webby. And we really, really hope we can do it. But again, we can't do it without you. So if you do love us, if you do support the show, please take the time to cast your vote in favor of TYT.
This is exactly why we say the TYT army is too strong.
Too strong.
So let's show them how it's done. Let's crush the competition so that at the end we can go
They're like, no, we don't want you guys to win.
I know, right? That was enough of that. All right, vote every day, let's crush them, let's win again. You guys are the best.
Yes. All right, some more news. Pepsi has pulled an ad featuring Kendall Jenner after just one day. There was so much criticism toward this Pepsi ad that they decided, okay, maybe this wasn't a good idea and we should get rid of it. So why was it so controversial? Well, apparently it featured Kendall Jenner at a protest that looked a lot like a Black Lives Matter protest. And it really minimized what the Black Lives Matter movement was. And it essentially ended with her giving a Pepsi to a cop and then everyone's dancing and having a great time. So
that's what happens in protests all the time.
All the time. People were like, all right, let's bring out the Pepsi. Let's give, you know, soda to cops and everything will be great. Now the ad shows attractive young people holding milquetoast signs with non-specific pleas like join the conversation.
That's the size they put up, right?
The protesters are uniformly smiling, laughing, clapping, hugging, and high-fiving. In the ad's climactic scene, a police officer accepts a can of Pepsi from Kendall Jenner, setting off a raucous approval from the protesters and an appreciative grin from the officer.
Now, this is hilariously awkward and offbeat. So, all right. here's what doesn't happen at protests. Okay, the officer's grinning at you mm-hmm. and sharing a lovely moment, and then dancing starts.
No, it's just the whole thing was so awkward and strange. So yes, it definitely minimized Black Lives Matter, and not only just Black Lives Matter, just protests in general. People are very politically active right now. They're frustrated. They want to air their grievances, and so they get out there. And yeah, even though there's a sense of community and some people are having a good time, I mean, they're airing their grievances. They're upset and frustrated at the current system.
They're actually resisting. And you know what the cops do with them? They don't share a soft drink with them. They often beat them, shoot tear gas canisters, sometimes rubber bullets. Those have taken out eyes, let alone all the other things. All up in North Dakota, there's nobody sharing anything except significant violence with the protesters. And it was the cops who were doing it. And it's like the image of this reality star, this Jenner's one of the Kardashians.
A model. She's
okay, I get it, but she's part of the Kardashian clan. I mean, you can't. And then her, this white, gorgeous girl who's a reality star, going up to the cops, and the cops being like, oh, okay, then I'm super into it.
Yes.
Whereas in real life, so for example, in that picture there, that's an iconic photo of Aisha Evans, you know what happened? They didn't share a drink. They arrested her because she was actually resisting. And that's an amazing picture and of courage. And when she went up to them, nobody was grinning and nobody got fist bumped, okay? She was taken into custody.
Yeah.
So that's actually what happens. And it's such an advertiser thing to put a sign that says, join the conversation.
Join the conversation.
Ay, 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 because they.
No, I know.
Nobody in a protest where they're enraged at the police abuse goes in and goes, hey, cops, join the conversation.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so, but for me, honestly, one of the most strange parts of the ad was like the first. It felt like 30 seconds. It might have been longer. It felt like an eternity where they're just showing Kendall Jenner like watching the protesters, but she's also posing in a model-esque way as she's watching them. And like, okay, so the video starts off with her blonde. I don't know what the symbolism is there, right? So I'm gonna mimic her since we don't have the actual video, right?
Yeah,
so
the video has been taken down from online. And she's supposed to be a model in a shoot.
She's like a model. And so it just kind of starts off with her like this, and she's just like.
Sounds pretty good actually right now.
And she's like, what is she doing? Are you gonna join the conversation? Right? And then all of a sudden, she's like, you know what? I do want to join the conversation. And her like messy, like blonde bob, like she takes it off. And all of a sudden, she's a brunette. And she's like, Pepsi, yeah, let me give you a Pepsi. And what? What? Like, but why? Why? And maybe, I don't know, maybe there's symbolism there that I didn't understand. But it was all very strange.
So the only symbolism that they meant, and this was actually promoted before the controversy, is that they wanted to compare her to Cindy Crawford. Because Cindy Crawford was a famous model back in 1992 when she famously did a Pepsi ad. And so Kendall Jenner tweeted about that and how proud she was to be following in her footsteps, which I found to be appropriate symbolism because advertisers are stuck in 1992. They still think like, oh, the American people love models. And they're gonna take, you know, oh, black people and all the people protesting Trump, they're gonna love Kendall Jenner. They're gonna think she's the new model. And they're gonna wanna drink Pepsi because of, like, you're stuck in, not just 92, you're in 1952. It doesn't work that way. This ad ironically screams inauthentic.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that's what they can't get past. Now, having said all that, I'm going to do a light defense of it. And my defense of it is at least they acknowledge what's happening in the country and that there is resistance. And in order to try to sell products to millennials, to the younger generation, what they're doing is, it was a bad attempt, but it was at least an attempt to reach millennials in a language that they thought they could understand, which is, hey, we know you're pissed at the government. We know you're pissed at the establishment. We know that you're in favor of protests and resistance, etc. And they were trying to reach out to that. And the ad was very multiracial. So it was also acknowledging, hey, this is a new country. And so I liked how inclusive it was. It was done in a super ham-handed way because they can't help themselves. because almost all advertising executives got frozen in time in 1955. Mm-hmm. And so they tried to go in the right direction, but they tried to do it in a safe way. Just join the conversation. We don't want to offend anyone. But having said that, it is a sign of the times that they at least tried this ad.
They tried it, but I think this is going to have unintended consequences for innocent bystanders. And what I mean by that is advertisers are so afraid of anything political. They're so afraid. And in this case, they tried something and it came back and bit them in the ass, right? Yeah. And so that's what I'm kind of concerned of. I think there is a right way to engage audiences with political content or political programming and not offend people or, you know, get under people's skin.
That's a fair point, Anna, but I will say this. I think that eventually they're finally going to snap out of it. I look at it from an optimistic lens, that they're going to realize it's not 1955. We can't keep doing milquetoast and think that we're going to get 100% of the country. It just doesn't work that way anymore. And what they're going to do is they're going to go in a completely different direction where they're bold, where they take chances, and then they excite people. And then they go, for example, Vicks did an ad in India that was so moving and powerful where they tell an emotional story about a mom, and the mom turns out to be transgender. Do you have any idea how brave that was? And that's a corporation taking a big chance in a market like India. Mm-hmm. See, but you know what that does is then people go, oh, I like that. Now I like Vicks because they took a bold stance. That's the new world. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a halfway step that was botched. Mm-hmm. But I think eventually they're going to finally get there and actually take a real stand.
I hope
and not have posters that say join the conversation. And they're actually going to talk to people on the ground who actually are part of this, because they don't have a choice. Because whether they like it or not, millennials are this progressive. This is who millennials are. So you're going to have to reach them in one way or another. And I got a message for you. The right way to do it is to actually do it in an authentic way, not a safe BS 1955 way.
Yeah. All right, we got to do one final story. I know we're running out of time, so we'll do it real quick. All right. You may remember Honey Boo Boo from several years ago and her mother, June Shannon, who goes by Mama June. Well, Mama June is back in the news because she has lost a tremendous amount of weight. She underwent some sort of surgery and as a result lost 300 pounds. So here's her before picture. Okay. And now wow. here is her big attention grabbing after picture. Okay.
All right, godness.
She underwent a breast augmentation and lost a combined total of 9 pounds through skin removal surgery on her neck, arms, and stomach. She spent more than $75,000 on all three surgeries. Okay, so why am I bringing up this random story that I'm sure you guys probably don't care about? I'm bringing it up because it really grinds my gears. Not because she lost weight. I don't care that she lost weight, right? Good for her that she lost weight. I'm angry because all of a sudden, everyone is applauding this woman who is horrible, okay? I don't say the word horrible, I don't take the word horrible lightly. I say that because first horrible thing that she did was put her daughter out there in the public eye and rob her of a childhood, okay? And just basically slang her kids out for you know, the lucrative component of it. But then the other part that really upsets me is, oh, did everyone forget that her boyfriend molested her kids? Did everyone forget that? And how she took her boyfriend's side at first? Because that's more relevant than the fact that she spent $75,000 to lose weight. Here's the reality, if everyone had $75,000 and spent it on cosmetic surgery, everyone would look pretty fucking awesome, okay? But I don't care about that. What I care about is avoiding celebrating bad people, and that's exactly what we do. Like, oh, she lost weight. All of a sudden, all her wrongdoings don't matter. Good job, Mama June. No, not good job, you're a terrible mother.
On the other hand, Anna, she does look better. I think she kind of missed the point of the story. Okay, my favorite part of the story, I didn't get anywhere near as heated as she did. She lost 300 pounds despite adding breasts. She did breast augmentation, okay? But no. The best is she lost 9 pounds through skin removal surgery on her neck, arms, and stuff. 9 pounds of skin.
Yep.
That's amazing. She lost 9 pounds of skin. Okay.
There are so many good people out there who, you know, might have some sort of genetic disorder and are overweight as a result of that, but they don't have $75,000 because they didn't slang their kids out in the most disgusting way imaginable. And They don't get celebrated, you know, they get discriminated against because of their weight. It just, it all frustrates me. She's not a good person, and I know that this is a very aggressive segment, and I kind of feel a little bad about it, but just take a step back and understand who the real biggest losers are. We are, if we go ahead and we celebrate people like this.
Okay, and this is the Hollywoodification of people.
Yeah.
They come in looking real, then they get turned into fake people based on the money that they spend on surgeries, etc. Mm-hmm. But Anna, I don't know if this will make you better, feel better or worse, but as you know, I think the last step of the process is when even that fades, porn.
Like, I don't know if that makes me feel better at all, actually.
Okay, so hold for it, because that's coming at some point. Okay, I didn't mean that. All right. Okay, dytnetwork.com/join to get the postgame tonight, old school, where I believe we're going to delve into Mark Thompson's sex life a little bit.
Oh, we are?
Yes, we are a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, fun.
And then tomorrow, aggressive progressives.
Bye-bye.